greetings on behalf of the family. We would like to thank you for joining to celebrate the life of a woman well lived. The life of a woman who has brought joy, who has brought tears, has brought comfort, has given us just about everything we've needed in this life apart from our Lord. So we thank you for gathering here in God's presence to find solace, to find comfort, to find peace amidst this loss. We know he is here with us, and I invite you now, if you'd be willing, to pray with me. Lord God, we indeed thank you for your presence among us. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that you offer us. We know, Lord, that your comfort is upon us. Your love is never ending. And we thank you, Lord, for being with the family, being with the friends that are gathered here today to celebrate a life that has been victorious. For we know that that victory comes through your son, Jesus, whom she now is in his presence. So thank you, Lord, for gathering us here today. Thank you for the life that we are celebrating. And we just pray as we go through this service, we would be free to express our emotions, and we would just allow anything that comes to the forefront of our emotions to come forth and allow it to happen, because you are here with us to comfort us, and we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. the word of the Lord speaks to us in these moments. And we hear these words of comfort from Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And in Psalm 145:18-19, God, you are near to all who call on you honestly. You fulfill the desire of all who fear you. You hear their cry, and you save them. And in John 6:40, this is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. At this time, we invite family members to share in special music. Thank you. Thank you so much. In such a time as this, the Word of God speaks over our lives. The author of life gives us hope, gives us peace, and gives us comfort. The resurrection of Jesus informs us death is not the end. It will not have the final say. It has been conquered by the King of Kings. We may mourn, we may grieve the loss of a significant family member and friend, someone who has taught us much and knew what it meant to value life, to value relationships. Her legacy is one in which we do well to carry on. Let us be kind and gentle, soft-spoken, full of joy, and be willing to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to others, especially this time of year as we anticipate Easter. We can celebrate Rita's life and the reality that the tomb is empty and death does not contain her. He is risen and she is risen indeed. What this means to each of us gathered around a loved one who has died in Christ is this. She is now in the presence of God. Her soul has departed her earthly body. And one day when Jesus returns, she will be among the first risen to new life, followed by the believers in Christ yet living. We read about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And I invite you to meditate on the words of the Lord, and as I read, to find hope, to discover comfort. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Friends and family, on a day such as this, we can be encouraged. This is not an end, but a beginning to a new and eternal life. It's no doubt Rita lived a full life among us, filled with love, filled with compassion. What I remember most are her stories from abroad and her heart for others. She spoke often of her family, and one could tell she was very proud of each of you. As we gathered by her bedside on those final days, you could sense an overwhelming peace that she had. And friends and family, I have to believe this peace came from knowing God personally. And friends, the good news is we too can know Christ. Often we hear this word religion, but with Jesus, it's about a relationship. We accept him by faith and travel through this life with grace and with forgiveness, with new mercies each day. These all offered through his death, which was a payment in full for our sins which separate us from God, and now have been bridged because of Jesus' obedient act on the cross. And many will argue that the grave is still occupied. But friends, believers in Christ, we know that Jesus has been resurrected. We know he is in heaven with his Father. And so today, especially as we face a time of loss and we survey our lives and we evaluate our relationships, we too can say, yes, Lord, come into my heart. Guide me to live like you have lived, the example you have set forth. And then it's too that we can celebrate the end of our lives, knowing that our future destiny is in heaven, with an assurance, a peace, a comfort, a hope that we shall see our loved ones again. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for meeting us here in this place. Lord, your word has power to speak over us. We know that we have hope because of your Son, Jesus Christ, because we know that our sins, those things that separate us from you, that gap has been bridged. And so, Lord, you know our hearts. You know whether we have that relationship with you. And I pray in a moment such as this, you would speak to our hearts. You would allow us to discover, perhaps for the first time, who you are and what true peace and true comfort looks like. And Father, I pray each day we would be mindful of Rita's life and the legacy that she's left for us to live. May we be filled with joy, knowing she is in her eternal home. She is now with you, Lord, to whom we give all thanks. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Family members that will be sharing at this time, whoever decided to go first, we'll invite you now to share with us.
Bear with me. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming out today to celebrate the life of our mother, Rita. It's heartwarming to see how many lives she touched. Rita was many things: a daughter, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, a homemaker, an educator, and among many other things. But to me, she was something else, a friend. Over the last 14 years, we were able to explore a relationship as friends, as equals. Mom was always ready and willing to join me on a moment's notice, on an outing, whether we were running errands or just driving with no specific destination in mind. We put a lot of miles on her little Jetta wagon. But the best part was the conversations we would have as we rolled along. Sometimes the subject was lighthearted and we would laugh like schoolgirls. And if you ever heard her laugh, you would know what a joy that was. Other times it was more weighty in nature. But inevitably the discussion came around to family. Family meant everything to our mom. She was always thirsty for information about her children, asking, "Have you heard from the boys?" which always referred to my three brothers. Or she would request information about her grandchildren, saying, "Tell me about your children," or, "What's new with the family?" Once she was satisfied that everything was as it should be, we could move on to other topics. Our mother was gentle, quiet, and unassuming. She never wanted to put anyone out or have anyone make a fuss over her. Her usual response when questioned about a preference about something was, "Whatever you would like is fine with me." She was a very capable woman, keeping a home for her husband, herself, her father-in-law, and four children, in addition to a career as an elementary school teacher. It was this very capability that, when her health began to fail, prompted her to resist the idea of anyone coming into her home to help her with the tasks that she had performed seamlessly in earlier years. When she became bedbound almost 3 years ago, she was forced to accept this assistance. She has been cared for by a team of lovely, compassionate women, and I see many of them here today. Thank you, ladies. As would be expected, she didn't want to inconvenience these caregivers. As a matter of fact, they tell me that she hardly ever disagreed with them. But they knew that when she raised her pointer finger and wagged it in the air, she had had enough. I agreed with them, saying that I had also seen that finger from time to time, something I believe she probably learned during her years of teaching, certainly not from her years of child rearing. Rita loved the simple things, working in her flower beds, watching the birds at the feeder, sitting on our front porch during a rainstorm, and letting the sun warm her legs on a summer day. But most of all, she enjoyed sitting in a room surrounded by her children and grandchildren, listening to the chatter. She didn't need to contribute to the conversation. The joy was in being present. I thought about these times as my brothers and I were gathered in her bedroom during her final days. I like to think it brought her comfort to have her children gathered together, chattering on once again. I'd like to leave you with a favorite memory of my mom. One of the benefits of living to be 96 years old is that you can eat whatever you want, a caveat that our mom took to heart. I recall arriving at her house unexpectedly, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, to find her sitting outside on the cellar steps, barefoot, with a tub of ice cream and a spoon. All I could think was, "You go, girl." So, now as we bid you farewell, rest in peace, Mom. Thanks for the memories. We love you.
My brothers and I owe Aida immeasurable thanks for making our mother's wishes possible. Her wish was to not be institutionalized, but remain in her home until the end of her life. It was possible only because our sister handled so many aspects of her care and the management of Mom's home. Thank you again, Aida. These thoughts are thoughts of mine and as well of my brothers and my sister. Our mother was part of what is often referred to as the greatest generation. Mom often expressed how fortunate she felt to grow up on a farm in Iowa. In a post-depression era, it was a challenge for many families to put food on the table. But she was thankful that there was always enough to eat because they had ample chickens, eggs, produce, and milk from dairy cows. Her love of dairy products continued throughout her life. It was a different time in America, and Mom recounted that after high school, as she began college, it was a challenge to date young men because so many were overseas to support World War II. The general population of the United States was much lower than it is today, and the number of available women was often greater than available men. It was in her college years that she met our father, although they did not marry until years later. It was more usual for women of that era to have children and become homemakers. Certainly, she was not the only mother to pursue a college education and a career, but it was less common then. And in that, she was slightly ahead of her time. The expectation that our mother attend college was partly instilled in her by her mother, our grandmother, who attended college in early 1900s, when it was surely less likely for women, as America was transitioning from an agrarian to industrial economy. Today, it is common for college students to spend semesters abroad, often volunteering for causes to both serve and learn. Mother was also slightly ahead of her time in this regard, as she learned Spanish and taught school in Ecuador. She used her teaching skills again in the early 1960s when we lived in Puerto Rico, where she taught in what was essentially a one-room schoolhouse with multiple grades. In that setting, she taught mostly English to children of various ages that were on the island because their parents were also volunteers. Higher education was very important to both our parents, and our mom joined a growing number of mothers that today make up many a family norm of double-income households. The additional income she earned was used primarily for one purpose, to save it. It was the goal of our parents not only for all four of their children to attend college, but they were dedicated on paying for every bit of it. Although the Topohokan School District had the lowest pay scale in Berks County at that time, we lived frugally at their assistance so they could accomplish their goal, which they did. And we children have been forever grateful for their kindness, as we all were able to graduate and begin our young adult lives debt-free without loan payments. My mother was born a Grady and proud of her heritage, but upon marrying, she also truly embraced the France family. And I want to digress just for a moment to highlight a few statistics. There were 7 children in my dad's family and 2 in my mom's family. So when all were married together with spouses, they totaled 16 in their generation. Of those 16 family members, it is difficult to grasp that the first passed away a full 38 years ago, and our mother was the last of those 16 in her generation, living until just last week. Sadly, the first of the 16 to pass was her brother Elmer. His son, Dwayne Grady, Mom's nephew, made the effort to travel here today, and Mom would be thrilled to know that. We 4 children have been so fortunate. We've had our mother with us for a long time. True also of her 8 grandchildren, who surely have fond memories of her, and hopefully even a few of her great-grandchildren will remember her one day, even if briefly. So you often hear about 55-plus clubs, but we are lucky in the France family to have the 95-plus club, of which our mother is a member. 2 brothers of my dad, Irvin lived until 96, and Victor until 98. Rufus Jacoby was married to my dad's sister, Edith, and Rufus was also more than 96 at the time of his passing. In less than 3 months, Rita would have been 97. So, to live a long life, a conclusion we might draw is, if you are not born in France, just being married to a France might get you into the 95-plus club. But our mother was anything but a statistic. She was a wonderful teacher to many, many children, including us, a wonderful wife to our father, a wonderful mother, a wonderful grandmother, really a wonderful person all around. A few memories in no particular order. In our growing up years, we made trips to Iowa by car, almost every other summer, for a number of years to visit our Grady relatives. Mom was always very excited about that trip to return to her roots and reacquaint herself with family and friends. Her mother had an enviable flower garden, and it was not unusual for Mom to bring back bulbs or clippings to add to her own garden. Her iris collection must have had 10 different colors here at home in Bethel, and her work was particularly rewarding to her because she had a part of Iowa and Pennsylvania. Another memory on Thanksgiving Day for a number of years was customary for my dad to get us children out of the house with a high school friend and his kids. Together, we all hiked to the top of the Blue Mountain until early afternoon. Mom did not consider herself a good cook, but she really appreciated that we were not under her feet while she was preparing the Thanksgiving meal that we returned to enjoy. Many years later, her granddaughter Caroline proclaimed that she was the best cook ever. And I think Mom secretly appreciated that compliment as much as any she had ever heard. Surely, little pleased my mother more than the enjoyment of getting together with her family at the holidays, where she could enjoy her grandchildren and witness their growth from babies into young adults. And even at an advancing age, Mom embraced her personal computer, not just for email, but as also as a window into the world via the internet. She was not only a teacher, but also willing to learn as a student herself. And she put at least some of those computer skills to work as a volunteer librarian. Also, our mother did not always relate to the lighter side of life. She could have a serious demeanor and be skeptical, guarded, and wary of people's intentions or comments. So in her retirement as a volunteer at the Bethel Public Library, it amused me wholeheartedly when I learned that she would be the leader of a book club or study group about comedy and humor. Even she realized the irony of being in that role, and we laughed together how far she had evolved. Like many a mother, our mother could worry about most anything related to the well-being of her children or grandchildren. But when she was teaching school, she also worried a great deal for the first and second graders that she taught. She referred to them as my kids, often lamenting that they were not dressed warm enough, or the lunches they brought were not nourishing or otherwise inadequate. Her compassion for the others ran deep. She defied the common saying that people can worry themselves to death, because I think living past 96 proves it is not true. Also, and as Aida mentioned, Mom loved sweets and salty snacks, from hard candy and ice cream to cheese puffs and potato chips. Her cholesterol was high off the charts, but she refused to take cholesterol-lowering statin drugs and most other medicines. She loved dairy products and would not be deterred from eating cheese and ice cream and beat the odds to live a long life. It is appropriate that her last food on earth was ice cream. Whether mother or grandmother, our family will miss Rita Jane Grady France very much. Earlier, I acknowledged Mom's nephew, but my brother, sister, and I also want to thank each and every one of you for taking off work or otherwise interrupting your daily lives to be with us here today. Thank you again, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
May the love of God be above you to overshadow you, beneath you to uphold you, before you to guide you, behind you to protect you, close beside you and within you to make you able for all things, and to reward both your faith and your faithfulness with a joy and a peace that the world cannot give, neither can it take away. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This concludes our services for Rita Franson. I invite the funeral home for further instructions.